Good morning, church. This morning, we have two scripture readings. The first reading is taken from Matthew chapter 16, from verse 24 to 28. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father. Then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Praise the Lord. And the second reading is taken from 1 Timothy 4, from verse 12 to 16. "Let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I arrive, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhorting, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Put these things into practice. Devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers." And God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and his infallible word. Praise the Lord.
I love baptismal services. And I'm so thrilled that, is it 13 people are going to be baptized today? We're praying for you. We're cheering you on. We're asking God to give you grace and courage and faith. And we want you to know that we'll stand with you and we will seek God for you. Let's encourage them as they prepare to take this step. Unusually for us, normally in a 9 o'clock service and an 11 o'clock service, we have the same message, but not today, because I wanted to bring something that was specifically for the guys that were getting baptized, but also a word for all of us here today, online and in the building, around why they are doing this and whether or not you are following Christ too. You see, the act of baptism is a declaration of surrender. It's countercultural. It doesn't make sense in our world and our culture, where we are told to be our own boss, to shape our own destiny, to set our own path, to plot our own compass, to do our own thing, to be accountable to no one. Why then would a group of young people make a decision to say, "Today we surrender to Jesus"? Freedom is a word that we love. We sing about it, we fight for it, and we long for it. But Jesus turns freedom upside down. He says, if you want to be free, you have to surrender. And as we watch these candidates being baptized, they're not just going through a ritual. They are declaring that they have surrendered to Jesus, that they have laid their lives down, that they have died to their old nature, and that they are rising again to new life in Christ. I made that decision when I was baptized 10 days after I became a Christian, almost 40 years ago, and I remember it to this day. Sometimes when you go to baptismal services, I don't know, those of you that have been baptized, you go to a baptismal service and you watch it and you think, I wish I could do it again. There's no need to do it again, because it is once and for all a declaration that you belong to Christ and that you are part of his church. But it is such a big idea that we should take a few moments today to think about it. True freedom is only found when we follow Jesus fully. It is only found when we lay down our lives to him. It isn't found in our possessions or in our power or in our position or in our connections with other people. It's not found in how much money is in our bank. It's not found in how our friends speak about us. They're all illusionary freedoms. True freedom only comes through Jesus. In the readings that you heard this morning, the first was from Matthew chapter 16. And in verses 24 to 25 of that reading, Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." There couldn't be anything further away from the way we talk about freedom and success in British and European culture right now. Self-denial, a road to freedom in a culture that says taking and getting everything you want. It's so different. And yet across the United Kingdom in the last 5 years, more and more young adults are turning to that. They're discovering that the promise of having everything and doing whatever they want doesn't fulfill them. They're dissatisfied. People are dissatisfied with the cheap and easy answers of our culture. And you can go back 40 or 50 years, all the way through the late 1960s and into the 1970s, then the 1980s, when everything was built around all the stuff that we could get, all the things that we could achieve. And yet every generation, every decade, there is a listlessness, a restlessness, a yearning. People have discovered that having everything doesn't work. You can have everything that you think you need and still go to bed at night, broken, lonely, and afraid. Freedom isn't doing what we want. Freedom is living the life that God created us to live. And that's why, as a follower of Jesus, I can say to you this morning that freedom can only be found in Christ. And that's what these young people have discovered. They've gone through our Blueprint Academy with Chinadu and Chinalo and the team as they have tried to help them to prepare for young adulthood. They've talked to them over the last year about what it means to be human, what it means to be alive, what it means to have purpose, what it means to have destiny. These young people may well have been discipled more in the last year than many of us have been discipled in our lifetime. So the decision that they're making to get baptized today isn't a sudden decision. It's not a one-off decision. They have been asked to consider it prayerfully and thoughtfully. Be careful that you do not assume, oh, it's just young people getting baptized. What a serious mistake that would be. In the 19th century, the Chicago-born evangelist D.L. Moody was conducting campaigns across the United Kingdom. And he sent a telegram to his wife about one of those campaigns. And he said to her, 4.5 people born again today. And she sent a message back saying, "Praise the Lord, 4 adults and a child." And he sent the telegram back saying, "No, 4 children and an adult." Because the adults halfway through their life, the children or the young people have their whole lives in front of them. I am so blessed and encouraged by seeing people getting baptized. I absolutely love baptismal services. It isn't easy to declare your faith in Jesus today. It isn't popular to declare your faith in Jesus today through baptism, but it is worth it. You see, as you see each candidate going into this water, they are plunged under it. It is an announcement that they are dying to themselves. And when they are pulled out of the water, it is an announcement that they are going to live in the power of Jesus and that they are part of Christ's body. They aren't born again when they go into the water. This is just water. It remains water. This is an outward declaration of an inner transformation that has already taken place. As these candidates go into this water, they are declaring, "I am part of the church of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to be a follower of Jesus. Oh, that all of his children would be like that. They are declaring to you, to those online, to their family, to their friends, I belong to Jesus. I have surrendered my life to him. I have found meaning and purpose in him. I want to live for him. What does surrender look like for you today? Have you been baptized? Have you made a public declaration of your faith in Jesus Christ? Maybe you're here to support a family member, and maybe God has brought you here to say, will you surrender to me? Maybe you've seen the change in the young people that you know, or you've seen a change in somebody else online or here. And you've come to KT today because you're curious. You're looking for freedom. Christ can give that to you. But it begins with a surrender. It begins with a letting go of control, of a laying down of our lives to him that we might live for him. Surrender looks like trusting Jesus's leadership. Jesus is my leader. Wherever he takes me, I should follow him. Whatever he asks me, I should do. Whatever goals he sets for me, I should make the center of my objectives in life, because he is a good leader. He is a faithful leader. He is a kind leader. He is a compassionate leader. He is an inspiring leader. He is an honest leader. He is a faithful leader, and he is an effective leader. We all follow something. We all follow someone. Who are you following? As you watch these young people declaring that they are following Jesus, have the courage to ask yourself, who are you following? And maybe you made a decision to follow Jesus years ago. Maybe you've been baptized. Why don't you remember those promises today? Why don't you bring them back to the center of your imagination and your thinking? Those of you that are part of our church know that every day of my life begins with a remembering of my baptismal promise, literally every day. The first thing I do when I get out of bed, every single morning of my life, is I say to Jesus Christ, when I was 16, and I was baptized, I promised you that I would follow you for the rest of my life. Help me to be faithful to that promise today. Now that isn't complicated, but it is transformative. Every day of my life, and I'm now 55. You say you look 75. Thanks very much. Don't let your baptism be a memory. Don't let it be a souvenir. Don't let it be a memento. Don't let it be a moment of nostalgia. Let your baptism, if you've already been baptized, be a moment of dedication. When you call it back into your remembrance today and say, today, Lord Jesus, help me to serve you. What would London look like if every Christian just lived for Christ? What would the world look like if every one of us just said, I will honor the promise I made on the day I was baptized. And that takes me to the second reading from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 to 16, where the Apostle Paul says, do not let anyone look down on you because of your youth, but set an example. And then he says, devote yourself to scripture, to teaching, and to perseverance. 1 Timothy 4, 12. The church that I led in Belfast was called Dundonald Elam. Our youth ministry was called 412. And it was based on this. Every Friday night, about 150 young people would gather, and they would have, it was full on. They would have preaching, worship, prayer, ministry, encouragement, because at the heart of that church's belief was the conviction that we should help young people to be godly young people, to take the Bible seriously, to devote themselves to scripture and to teaching and to perseverance. It's probably true that the average age of the followers of Jesus, the 12 apostles, was around 18 or 19. Most of the early church's leadership was under 30. How strange it is, therefore, that that age bracket is so absent in our leadership structures. We cannot, and I want to talk to KT for a moment, we cannot celebrate young people being baptized here without making spaces for young people in our leadership. We got to invest in those that are coming behind us. Look, take a look at these, no pressure. Take a look at these young people. You look really frightened now. You're like looking at me saying, don't look at me, don't look at me. And now we've begun an exchange and I just keep looking at you and you keep looking at me. There could be future Nobel Prize winners sitting here. There could be future CEOs of companies. Some of these young men and women might be the people that discover cures to cancers that we've been searching for 100 years. Some of them could become leading politicians. One or two of them might end up pastors, but most of them will not. But they will each be called into a sphere of influence for Christ in education and healthcare and the legal system. Imagine what might happen if we get behind them and we invest in them and pray for them and train them and support them. And after their baptism, they pursue all that God has for them. See, we all want to be in the meeting where some old bloke like me comes on and says, 35 years ago or 40 years ago, I was baptized and look at me now. And we all want to say, yay, praise the Lord. I hope I'm not quite there yet. But many of us are less willing to say, and from the moment we see them, we'll invest in them. We'll release them, we'll encourage them, we'll get behind them, we'll let them try, we'll help them to dream dreams. That's not just true of the young people that are getting baptized today. Every single person in this room is a time bomb of hope for Jesus Christ. If you allow him to get a grip of your spirit, of your soul and of your heart, if you surrender to him today, who knows what he will do with you? Paul tells this young pastor, Timothy, that he is to set an example. So no pressure, but set an example. Set an example. Turn up. Stand up. Speak up. Don't leave it to the older folk in this church to lead it. Play your part. Find your space. Make your contribution to the kingdom of God. And I want to talk to you for a moment now. This is not the finish line. Baptism is the starting line. As you go into this water and you come out of it, you are declaring, I want to live for Jesus. Then live for him. Don't give him the ends of your energy. Don't give him what's left after you've given everything else out. Give him the best of you. Give him the best of your heart. Give him the best of your ideas. Give him the best of your creativity. Give him the best of your finances. Get these principles embedded into you now and you will carry them for the rest of your life. I thank God that when I was first born again, I was taught some of those principles. I was taught the principle of intentionality. I was taught the principle of tithing. I was taught the principle of reading the Bible. I was taught the principle of prayer. I was taught the principle of worship. I was taught the principle of gathering together. I was taught the principle of serving. I was taught the principle of laying my life at the feet of Jesus. I am so glad that I was taught that. Because here I am now, almost 40 years on, still trying to figure that stuff out. But those principles have held me steady. They have kept me safe. When everything in my life felt as if I was at sea, the principles that the Blueprint Academy have been teaching you, that were taught to me when I was 16, held me steady. When friends let me down, those principles held me steady. When I lost family, those principles held me steady. When the world was telling me who I was, the Bible story of who I was held me steady. When everybody else around me was talking about what it meant to be successful and powerful and influential, what the Bible said about those things held me steady. As you get baptized today, I want to remind you that this is an active step of obedience. You are stepping into a public arena. And I want to remind you of this. Your baptism is not just about you. This is about the world seeing Jesus in you. The second person of the Trinity. The Savior of the world. This is a massive moment. And when you go into that water and you come out of it, you are saying, watch me. Because I'm going to live for Jesus. So those of you that are baptized in the room and online, can you still do that? Can you get up in the morning and say, watch me? Because today, I will fulfill my baptismal vow. Watch what comes out of my mouth. Watch the way I interact with you. Watch the priorities I set. Because today, I will live out the promise I made the day I was baptized. The problem with our world is not our world. The problem that Britain faces is the weakness of the church. The American theologian Francis Schaeffer once said this, the issue of society is never society's issue. It is always the church's issue. What does he mean? The Bible says that the world is always going to be against us as Christians. They're never going to applaud us and clap us and tell us that what we believe is right. They're never going to be there front in line saying, you're an amazing bunch of people. We thank God for you because you call us to surrender and lay our lives down. Thanks for doing that. No, they're not going to do that. Francis Schaeffer was right. He said, the problem is always the church failing to live up to its own expectations. We preach a gospel of surrender to everybody else, but do not surrender ourselves. We tell other people to come and follow Jesus from a place of not following Jesus. Why would they listen? Why should they follow someone who's not following their own message? I thank God that many of you here are not that type of people. But I pray that all of us will be the type of people who say, I will fulfill my vows today. The freedom that Jesus promises is a freedom that comes through surrender. It's a freedom that shapes our lives, and it's a freedom that looks forward. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 27 to 28, Jesus promises rewards. He promises that when his kingdom comes, he will bless and honor those who honor him. So today we live in the light of eternity. The freedom that I enjoy as a follower of Jesus Christ is not just a freedom for yesterday or a freedom for today. I've got freedom forever. I will always be free because Christ has set me free and I'm living in that freedom. I pray that you will too. Freedom is found in his presence. Freedom is found in surrender to Jesus and what he says about you. Freedom is found in the life that Jesus gives you. Freedom is found in obedience to him, and freedom is secured in him. So as you watch these young people being baptized in the next 15 or 20 minutes, I wonder if you might ask yourself, what will I do with my life? I've got 3 questions. And I'm going to come back after the baptism, Scott, if you can make sure I can do that, just to ask people to respond to them. But as you watch the baptisms, I want you to think about the 3 questions, please. And I'll give you time to think about them. The first question is, as you watch these young people getting baptized, have you been born again yet? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? I'm going to give you an opportunity to make that decision at the end of the baptisms. The second question is to those of you that have surrendered to Jesus but have not yet been baptized. Will you do something about that? Because baptism is not a request, it's a command. Jesus never says, when you feel like it, get baptized. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. So I will ask you to think about that too. And the third and final question that I will ask is to those of us that have been baptized, and I ask it of myself as well. Will you commit yourself again today to your baptismal promise and ask Jesus to give you the power to live for him?